Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Good Time Show. It's Christmas. And so, as every Christmas should have, we should have a Christmas queen. And so I bring to you, everyone, the Christmas queen of all, Amanda Ware.
Oh, wow. Thank you. That's a great intro. Wow.
Does anybody else call you the...
My friends. But I don't know if it's been like, it's been official yet. My mom calls me that.
The Christmas queen?
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, it's cute.
I love that.
Cute. You just, yeah. Have you talked to my mom? Have you been talking to my mom?
I have not talked to your mom.
Because that is what she calls me. But my friends call me that too. It's cute. It's cute. It's great. It's true. It's probably true.
It is true.
Yeah.
How long have you been the Christmas queen?
About 5 years. I've been about, Hello Holidays is on, we just finished our fifth season. And so I started 5 years ago. And it's just been, from since then.
And I'm going to be very honest. I did not do a lot of homework.
Oh, good. On That's this, better.
Which
That's
is better, because, we got to know each other. We are once again at Blake Street. We are presented to you by Blake Street. Blake Street is a wonderful place that me and Amanda live.
We do love it here.
We love it here. There's a lot of people that visit. We live here.
Yeah.
I met you. Obviously, it was during Christmas. We have a friend named Roland. But I did read somewhere that you were a school teacher.
I was a school teacher. So we met through Roland, who is an incredible author. And I read his books when I was a school teacher because he's written like 30 books. He's Scholastic's his publisher. He's insane. So I knew Roland. Roland told me, you've got to meet my friend Damon. When we went to his book release, you sat right beside me. I was like, this is meant to be. And another friend, Ify, was like, you need to meet Damon. And so when you sat by me, I was like, oh, I think that's
what I think it is. He seems kind of a douche.
No, that's not what I thought. Because if people think you're a douche, they think I'm a douche. And so
you're right.
I'm cool being a douche, if that's what a douche is.
Yeah,
If you and I are douches, then like, oh, I'm cool with that.
I'm cool with that. Yeah. I mean, I feel like me and you have similar, similar souls.
Yeah.
We are similar energy. Mm-hmm. We are out there. We are a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I like us.
We love ourselves.
We do love ourselves. Yeah. I think people like us because we bring a lot of fun to the table.
Well, when you love yourself, you just love people better. You just love people better.
Okay, so you were a school teacher. What grade?
Okay, so I've taught, I started out as a middle school teacher. That was my passion. Taught master's in reading. Then I taught college, taught masters of reading for college. So I teach teachers how to be reading teachers. So it's a lot of that part. I did that for about 7 years so I could stay home with my kids most work part-time. And then I went back and taught second and third grade. My daughter was in my class for 2 years. And so I was teaching third grade when I opened Hello Holidays. And I learned that first season, there's no way. It was not going to be a side hustle. This was going to be big. And so I quit and went all in. And here's where we are.
Wow. So you're a smart girl on top of all this.
I am a smart girl.
Where did you graduate college?
That's one thing I'm going to tell you, that I never knew I was smart. I never thought I was smart. And I played that I played that dumb blonde card for a long time because that's kind of what got me in the room. And I just now realized lately that I'm way smarter than I think I am. And so that's been empowering for me.
Well, you were teaching teachers.
I was teaching teachers, but that was a niche, right? That was a niche, and I was like, oh, people in the business world, they're so smart. Those people know words like mutual funds, and I don't know that. I don't know those words. That's a hard word. Or those kind of things. So well, I don't know that. But I can tell you how a kid reads and what makes, a kid be able to read at sixth grade, a better reader in fourth grade than they are in sixth grade. I could tell you that stuff, but I couldn't tell you.
Could you make me a better reader?
Financial.
I'm terrible.
Are you?
Oh my God, you have no idea. It's like my only fear. Reading out loud is my only fear.
You know, I think you're not alone there. That is something that I learned early on when I was getting my master's. You don't ask kids to read out loud, and you don't do it, popcorn style either. Yeah. That's cruel. It's real cruel there.
I got really good at just improv, because I've said it in another podcast, but I was a special ed kid. So they would give me a lot of leeway. So, and I had no problem performing and entertaining. So I, of course, would bust out the Cliff Notes and try to do my best, but I was so hyperactive that I couldn't remember what I read and even in the Cliff Notes. So I would give these book reports, and I would be so off base, but I would just go for it. I would just get up there, and I'd be like, yeah, you know, and Becky, and they were like, there was no Becky, and I was like, yeah, whatever her name was. And I would just go into these things, and the teacher would keep going, well, I don't think that was quite, you know, I don't think you really got all of it, Damon.
That was the interpretation.
But they, so, yeah, they would give me the interpretation leeway, and I think they just liked my ability to just get up on stage.
And, you know, I've got a thing where I think if you're in special ed classes, you could probably be in gifted classes. There is a correlation there, and the wealthy people, very wealthy, when their kid has a learning disability, they put them in the gifted school, right? Like, right. There's something to that. There's something to kids who have a special need. It's just if you can keep that sense of self-esteem, that's what's the hardest part for
it
that.
It is. I had no problem being bad at school, really. You couldn't get me to skip school. I loved school. There was always people there. It was like, it was just a warehouse of people that would listen to me.
Wow.
So I really loved school. I just didn't like to do any of the stuff that was there, really, except for the stuff I like to do.
See, I have nightmares of going back to school.
You didn't like school?
Never. Oh, really? Now, I liked college, but not, I mean.
But you're so pretty now. Like, what?
I wasn't pretty. I was not cool. I was just not pretty. I was super basic, and that was my insecurity. That book, Sarah Plain and Tall, I don't know if you remember that. It was about this basic girl. It was just simple and everything. I'm just so basic. But I also knew I didn't belong there. Like, I also would look around and be like, I don't belong here. This is not my peak. I've not peaked here. Like, I knew. I knew, and I wasn't pretty. I wasn't. And, changed for me. And when you start loving yourself, I think your insides get prettier, and maybe that kind of comes out of your outsides.
Christmas. I love Christmas. Uh-huh. Why do you love Christmas?
Okay, I love my mom is why I love Christmas. The psyche, just studying and being in this business, moms bring the Christmas. And I have learned moms feel that is a lot of pressure for moms. So that's one thing I've learned. My mom brought Christmas for me. I bring the Christmas for my family. That is just most people, if you ask how they get their Christmas from their mom. My mom was very whimsical. She did the snow village. She'd go all out. We had lots of different color Christmas trees. And so I had a different color Christmas tree. When my sister lives in Tulsa and asked me to come help her decorate her Christmas tree. And I did. And there were these ribbons that my mom and I would shop for. And they were just like so expensive, right? Like, I'm a teacher. Can't afford this stuff. This is, too much to buy ribbon for a Christmas tree at these nice stores. But this ribbon is just so much better than all the other ribbon. And it's so much more beautiful. And so my mom and I would share.
What is it about girls that know what ribbon feels like?
I know. Well, it's textile. It just feels so good. Like velvet and lush and patterns and glitter. Oh, it's just like, who would not want to work in the ribbon industry? It's just happy. So many patterns. Anyway, so I just get so excited thinking about it. But anyway, it is. So I started with ribbon, did it on my sister's tree. Her tree went viral on Pinterest. I mean, this is like ten years ago, something stupid.
Your sister's?
My sister in Tulsa. So my sister she was like, Amanda, you can't buy this stuff online. You need to have an e-commerce company, and you need to sell it online. Like, just try. I blew her off a couple of years because I'm like, I'm not in sales. I'm a teacher. I'm in the noble world. I'm going to be noble. I'm not going to be a teacher because I'm not going to be in sales.
A ribbon peddler.
Yeah, I'm not going to be selling ribbon to my friends.
Who's that little tot over there selling all that ribbon? Little ribbon hussy over there.
Who does she think she is? Like, anyway, I told my husband.
She was just a teacher. Now she's just slanging.
Yeah. That's for the, you know, really there is a floral. The floral industry owns the ribbon. So fast forward, I say something to my husband, Chad, about it. My husband's in finance, opposite of us. And he goes, and he's not a risk taker. He's like, no brainer. And when he said that, I was like, you know, like, okay. Anyway, we opened November.
Oh, so your husband.
He was like, you should totally do that.
Well, you were like, this is so stupid. I shouldn't even do that.
Emily is 2 years later. My Emily keeps mentioning this to me.
Yeah, when a finance guy tells you it's a no-brainer. That's when you know. Because my dad was an accountant. And yeah. Money scares me.
But my husband's an accountant. It's scary.
Like, I the only thing I get scared about is like doing accounting kind of stuff.
It is scary. And that is.
He's going to yell at me.
That is one thing I'm learning that. I'm not that dumb. Like, finances aren't that hard to understand. Like, mutual fund is not a hard concept to understand if you just read about it and listen. Like, that's what I'm learning. And that's exciting to be like, all these things that I kind of thought were scary or too hard.
Right.
Not that hard.
Not that hard.
I wish I would have known that when I was 20, but right? That's okay.
I wish I could have broke. It wasn't his fault. My dad was an awesome man. He was the greatest guy ever. But there was that thing where I felt like, well, people told me it was impossible and you're not smart enough, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But then when you read about it, it's like, I mean, all these guys in crypto right now, no offense, guys that are in crypto, I'm sure it's going to make $1 billion.
I'm sure. Go for it.
But, you know, it's all just sounds like a pyramid scheme, all of it. And you realize that, like, the more that people preach and whatever, that it is just, if you get a bunch of people believing in it, then people buy the stock, it will go up. And it's everybody's just guess.
It's true. So, well, I also grew up and when I got married, I kind of immersed myself in a culture of people that were scarcity mindset and they were obsessed with saving. And so, like, I was always over the top compared to my friends because I didn't really care about saving. And, well, it's not that big a deal. Like, I don't know. I think we obsess over money a little too much. Not having it, bragging about how people save. It's just like, I don't know. Who cares? So, anyway, I didn't have the money. My mom and I both would, like, cut this ribbon, put it on my sister's tree, opened up Hello Holidays in 2018.
What a cute name.
Right? Can you believe it's my name? It's my name. I'm so proud of that name. Hello Holidays. Hello Holidays. It's a shop, HelloHolidays.com, or shop Hello Holidays on Instagram, but Hello Holidays. And, you know, there's so many avenues we can go with that because almost anything can be a holiday, right? Like, we could celebrate that Damon and I saw each other and make that a holiday. Like, that's.
Which is, I find to be one of the best holidays out there.
I know. I've seen Damon's a holiday. That's true. Anyway, so we started and people like it. They love it. 2 years later, I was getting these calls and emails. Will you come decorate my tree in Montana? Will you come decorate my tree up New York, LA, whatever? And I just couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. But I would do it for like people who could market for me or, you know, influencers or whatever. And then I would do it for a few clients that were persistent. And I'm still with those loyal, persistent clients. And so I opened it up to say, is there anybody else that likes to side hustle and really good at decorating trees using our products? And I now have 60 we call them Merrymakers, which is adorable. And
Merrymakers.
Hello Holidays. And then we have Merrymakers.
And
they're across the United States. So you can go to my website and say, you live in Dallas, Texas are my people. Those Texans love Christmas.
We do.
You
and
do.
They like lights and they like it big.
Big. Big.
Because I'm Highland Park adjacent.
Okay, okay.
I'm not wealthy enough to be Highland Park.
Okay, I've done some trees in Highland Park.
But I love me rich people. I love to go to a rich person's house and look at a rich person's tree and enjoy the things that I don't have.
Okay, good. You enjoy, I do the rich people's tree or they have my stuff in their house and then you get to see it.
Yeah.
That's exciting. Yeah, that's like the circle. Yeah,
my mom retired from Neiman Marcus. So I grew up around like the Neiman Marcus Christmas tree.
Yeah.
These ornaments that are ridiculous. Like I grew up seeing these ornaments that are like $300. And then back in the day, you could, they don't really do these sales like they did, but they had employee sales. And so my mom would be able to work these employee sales.
Oh, she got better.
Oh yeah. And they would mark these things like crazy down. It would be like 90% off plus an extra 30.
Wow.
So we would get
my ornaments don't cost that much.
Huh?
My ornaments don't cost that much.
No, well.
The ones I sell. I actually was going to bring you one. I said I have one that's like a cup of noodles, and it says send nudes. And I was going to give that to you because I just feel like you'd appreciate that.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that cute? I'm going to bring it back to you. I'll bring it tomorrow.
Oh, my God. Send
to Blake
nudes?
Street. Oh, isn't that cute?
Oh, my God.
It's clever. Clever.
Yeah. And I'm definitely, and I apologize, Aaron, for letting me say this about you, but I am for sure the person that's probably like Aaron loves to decorate and all this kind of stuff. But she was a little late this year. She was a little late.
That's okay. It's okay.
Totally. We got our tree and all that kind of stuff.
It's a lot of pressure.
It is. I think she gets a little overwhelmed with the pressure. And then
I'd like to fix that.
I'm a
for
bulldog
women.
Too, so I come in like
like to fix that for women.
Yeah.
If that's my I want to fix that. I want to make it where nobody in the world feels stressed about decorating for Christmas. I don't know how to do that yet, but I'm going to do it.
That's the one thing that I've never understood is that, like, it's Christmas, it's Thanksgiving. My mom would get so stressed about everybody and what was happening, setting up for Christmas, setting up for Thanksgiving. And what's really sad is that men truly, most men, I feel like I'm a little not on that. But like I'm pretty aware of like complimenting and all that kind of But a lot of most guys that I know really don't pay attention to what the wives are doing, what's happening in the background. Like Thanksgiving can happen. All this work happened in the kitchen. Not saying that women, I'm the one who cooks during Thanksgiving, so let's not, I'm not trying to throw that. But, and then they'll eat, and guys will be like, yeah, it was pretty good. Turkey was dry. You know?
Yeah, it's true. And they go watch the football game.
And they're like, you're crushing them, and my mom is stressed out. But my mom's not enjoying Thanksgiving. And it's like, that's the problem with, like, these holidays. It's like, they should just be for just having fun. If the turkey burns, great. Like,
exactly.
Who gives a
I want it to be that way. That would be the dream. But it is a lot of pressure on moms to recreate. I think this is my theory. I have not read this.
I love that we're drinking, by the way. This is the first guest that I've had.
Cheers.
That we drink.
Okay.
Yeah, cheers.
Yeah. My theory on that is moms want their kids and husbands to experience the magic of their greatest Christmas memory growing up, whatever that is, that greatest nostalgia, whatever that is. And nostalgia is good. It can be bad because it can hold you back because you just, you can rile people up with nostalgia. But then they want that so bad. So every year it's the quest for the perfect, best Christmas ever. Once you get that, it might not be the best Christmas ever. Maybe I'm not going to have ribbon on my tree this year because it's too expensive. Or maybe I'm not. I'm going to add next year. That it's just to love it where it's at. It's hard. But there is something to that. And I feel like I could be wrong. Women feel the pressure more than men.
100%.
And I don't know why that is. It's
well,
like,
I kind of do. I don't, but I do. I'm just going to say my opinion.
Go. Oh, yeah. Mine's all opinion. I have no science.
I think there's just like guys with sports or guys with everything else, right? Like, I built a world in reality TV. I mean, you know, my world is about reality TV. The reason why people love The Bachelor and all that, too, is that you girls love to talk some garbage on each other. Like, you girls can watch The Bachelor and be like, oh, my God, look at those shoes. Oh, my God, look at that jacket. Like, there is a competitive nature to people. And I think that, you know, when it comes to holidays, to other holidays, like people are like, oh my God, I gotta compete with, and like, why are you competing with what's her name? Like, who cares? But
that's
like,
it's really
an impossible thing to, like, I mean, it's impossible to see one of your Christmas trees, take for instance. And you're just like, who gives, like, you saw how terrible it was a cute tree.
It's a cute tree.
I decorated my mom's Christmas tree.
I'm never gonna say anybody's tree's bad.
It was totally the worst ribbon job ever, but
no,
it was super cute.
You didn't have my ribbon either. My ribbon's a lot easier to work with. It is. It's easier than anywhere else you're going to buy ribbon. It's going to be easier because Walmart, Holiday, Hobby Lobby, Sam's. I'm sorry, their ribbon's cheap. It's not as easy to work with. Mine's designer friendly. You know, Damon, I didn't know we were going to get into this, but when you say women are competitive, I think they are. I don't think all women are. It's not something I struggle with. Jealousy.
No,
I don't struggle
with
it.
It's not all women. Let's be
it's
very clear.
It's not all women.
I'm tiptoeing in
a very
dangerous world.
And it is a huge stereotype. It has definitely got truth. And I hope that maybe that's something I can change, right? Like, where I can say, if I can say, Damon, I love your tree. And if you want me, you want to put the Hello Holidays touch on next year, we'll do it next year. But I'm not thinking your tree sucks. I'd put your tree in my house and I'd be proud of it because you did it.
Well, I think the Charlie Brown Christmas thing is totally, like, if you can't do a good one, do a really bad one.
And just put tons of lights on it.
Own it.
Okay.
Just, like,
own it.
The crappiest, like, sometimes go in the refrigerator, like, hey, I got no money. Great. Just get a stick outside.
Yeah.
Put it up. Put it in
totally.
The thing. Like, I mean, in college, we would just, like, you know, we would find anything and we would just do stupid things. It would just be ridiculous.
Simple.
But it doesn't matter because
it's
really about, like.
Yeah.
Like you said, like when your mother's ruined her life trying to make sure everything was perfect, when really all I wanted her to do was have a good time and be funny. Like, you know, because she's the funniest person I've ever known.
Just be
so
you.
It's just like,
you show up.
Just show up.
Just show up.
Just show up.
I'm hoping that changes. I hope that we can be more mindful. Being more mindful at Christmas is a huge, right now, it's whatever date it is. You can't make Christmas 21st. Day any better than what it's going to be right now. Like, it's not going to be better than it's going to be right now. So if we just like say, I'm not going to try too hard. I'm not going to compare myself to so-and-so. I'm not going to try to impress her because it's really not worth it, the stress.
I want to bring up something that I feel like has happened. Speaking of changing Christmas and speaking of the stress of Christmas.
Okay.
There is a thing that happened, and you at least it's happened in my ether, right? So,
okay, and
I feel like this happened like 25 years ago, maybe 20 years ago, or just keeps happening in generational. And like, and that is the gift card phenomenon that has made Christmas crap. Uh-huh. Excuse my language, but gift cards has legitimately made, and well, first it was gift cards, and then it became this thing where, okay, so I've got nephews, you know, you got the kids and blah, 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 right? And then so in the beginning, like it's the young kids and we're like, whatever, everybody's into it. Like I'm giving the sister, the brother, like we're giving gifts and whatever. And my brother gave me the worst gift ever. I'll get into that a little bit later. It's really funny. But, you know, we would exchange gifts, right? And I remember I got in trouble one year because I bought my nephew who was super young and I did buy him like triple X underwear, like
okay,
from Walmart.
That's funny.
But I had a gift card of money, but I just wanted him to open the gift card and open this.
I'm
huge
doing that
pair
for my
underwear.
Nephew. He will cry.
Yeah, and he cried. And he totally cried. But everybody got mad at me. I go, guys, he cried. This is hysterical.
Oh my gosh, I'm
but, like,
doing
he's
that.
He's crying with like, these huge
I have
underwear.
The perfect nephew to do that.
Yeah.
For.
So I think so there became this thing where like, and my mom still preaches it like. Legitimately at the tip of her, she was like, well, you know, we're not giving kids, you know, the adults aren't giving presents this year. The adults aren't giving presents this year, which is fine in the beginning, right? Because you still have the focus of the little kids and they're still little kids, right? Well, now, and then you get to that weird awkward stage where like the, you know, the 15-year-old still like going, oh my God, and you're like, okay, enough, dude.
Yeah.
You're just really annoying right
you're
now
lying.
Because the
you're
8-year-old's like, you're out and like the 6-year-old is still killing it, right? And you're only focused on him. But he's still like, look at me. And you're like, no, dude, you got pimples and you're just, you're
it's
out,
true,
you're
it's
done.
True.
I'm giving you gifts and we're sure we're lying. We're lying about the whole Christmas thing. Like we're all in a big lie, right? So, but you're starting to get phased out. You're about to go from like, hey, here's $100 to here's a pair of socks. You know, it's the transition. Because now
it's
my
terrible.
But my nephew's.
It's the giving up of innocence. It's the losing of innocence. It's terrible.
It so
the
bad.
Loss of innocence is a sad thing.
It's a
sad thing.
It's a crap deal.
It is. And it kind of starts with Christmas. Like every parent knows when your kid learns the truth, it's just the beginning of the end. It's the sex talk next.
Mm-hmm. God, you hope they had sex before they figured out the lies of
I'm talking about Santa.
Christmas. Yeah, I know. I mean,
that's the first. Yeah, that's first.
Well, you hope.
I'm
pregnant. What? He's not coming for real? You hope that's the
case? Yeah, seriously.
Oh, golly, because if you find out about Santa after, that's a really bad deal.
That's true. It's a good point.
You know,
good point.
Or maybe not. Maybe
it's the loss of innocence. It's hard. And I give cards. It's a tough one.
But
I also don't want – okay, so this is interesting. So my husband grew up with his grandparents. They'd give him certain gifts, but they would give him crafts they made. Like his grandma would give him popsicle sticks. We'll see. Chad grew up that you just say thank you. Like he's not going to use or anything, but thank you. That's so sweet. Where I grew up, like we would laugh if you tried to give us a popsicle stick gift.
100%. But at least I remember – like here's the thing. My uncle – would give me socks every year. And like, but every year, at least I went home, like, my uncle gave me those crappy ass socks again. At least I have a story, right?
True.
There's like
it's
at
true.
Least a
Chad,
story.
My husband didn't know it was a story. Like, he didn't know that was an interesting fact. He thought that was normal. And I'm like, no, that's like so sweet. And that you thought that was the norm, that everybody's grandma gave them popsicles, you know, like crafts.
That's super
sweet.
Cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but that's what I mean. Like, everyone stopped giving gifts.
Yeah.
And I think that this is a really bad thing that we're getting into. And I wish we could stop it in our family.
Yeah.
Like, I wish I could. And I was just preaching my friend, my best friend. She was like, well, I don't decorate anymore. Like, he doesn't appreciate it. And I go, don't do it for him. Do it for you.
Yeah,
and then
it makes
let
you
everyone
feel good.
Then this, you should be decorating or whatever. I go, there is no, like, you have just, I'm going to preach to everyone. You have 12 months walking around. And if you see the dumbest thing in the world, it could be $3, $2, $5. Just buy it, wrap it up, and give it to them. And then when they unwrap it, it could be the worst gift ever. But when they unwrap it, they go, oh, my God, this is so stupid. Now you have a talking point.
I just thought of the best podcast for us to do next year.
Okay.
We need to
do next year.
We're doing this next year. I'm going to be back on your podcast, and it'll be like gifts. Gifts for the different... We'll do a gift thing. Like, I give these chocolates from Markham and Fitz to my BFFs, like in Bentonville. Mm-hmm. It's a good gift. You should do a gift show.
I would love to do a gift show. I'll do any kind of shows.
You will?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I want to somehow do a whole TV show here. I don't know what we're going to do yet. I'm trying to figure this out. One thing I did do that I thought was fun, I'm a little creative.
You're very creative.
So when it comes to like my nephews, instead of giving them money, I, you know, in an envelope or whatever, I went and got the candies that you get at the movie theater that are always in boxes. So I would tape the money to those, and then I'd wrap
that.
So at least the kids could then go, I got the hot tamales. Oh, yeah, I hate hot tamales. I got Nerds. And
that's good.
You know.
We should hide the money.
Creating conflict, guys.
It's true. Okay, so this year, their wrapping paper had big chicken butts on it, and it said, guess what? So inappropriate, and it's so funny.
Is it, though?
In a classy family.
Will you be friends with somebody that's not inappropriate?
Chad's whole family's not inappropriate, and I love them. They're just good people.
They do give popsicle sticks.
They're sweet. They're good people.
These people are like those kind of
people. They're the goodest people in the world.
That's
why he
married you.
It is why
you're the funnest person he never.
He tells me that all the time.
He just had no idea.
I know. He didn't. They didn't have any idea either.
Let me finish this thought.
Okay.
I think that having fun at Christmas, like, why not? Why make everything so serious? They're like, oh my God, it's got to be. Like, I think buying someone a toilet seat and just wrapping it up and just giving them a toilet seat for no reason is hysterical to me. Now, not everybody has the ability.
I don't want you to ever give me that for a present. I don't think it's funny. I just won't. I guess I'm not that funny because I don't like that. I don't like you.
Okay, maybe you're right.
Don't give me a white elephant.
This is my problem too.
Don't give me junk.
If you gave me
like a squatty potty, those things that's useful that you put on your toilet, like that might be like funny, but I'm going to still use that.
I was a squatty pottier for a while.
You were?
Oh, I loved it.
We need to get them to sponsor your podcast. I think they sponsor lots of podcasts.
I met the squatty potty guy, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
I do. I mean, it's just like, I think it was a white elephant gift, and it was one I got to keep, and I was happy about it. But, like, you give me a toilet seat, unless it's, like, heated or works, like, special.
Well, yeah, it would be, like, you know.
Special. Oh, it wouldn't be just, like, one that you got from the junkyard?
Like maybe one of those, like, a bidet, you know, that makes your life so much better.
You would never buy someone a bidet. That'd be too expensive. That's not...
No, they have the cheap ones now. I mean, they got the Amazon bidet. You know
okay, I mean? Maybe I would laugh at that. I would really laugh at it if you gave it to my mother-in-law, because I feel like her response
so
would be...
conservative.
Oh, boy. And she would laugh, and I just think I'd get a kick out of that.
It'll wake you up. That's for sure. Wake you up.
Good morning.
Okay, Christmas. You have your own store. And it's not just a store where you're reselling stuff. You have your own products.
So give me this whole thing. Okay, here's everything I sell. Anything you see on a Christmas tree, I sell it. So we've got ornaments, florals, and ribbon. I sell anything on a Christmas tree. Now, I try to sell stuff other seasons. It's harder for me. I'm hoping to break out into party supplies and do, you know, party stuff like soon. But yeah, I sell anything you see on a Christmas tree. I have it. And that's my sales. That's what I sell. And so now I'll do trees in August, my team and I do trees every week, and we take pictures of them. And you can buy, a lot of times people will just say, I want everything on this tree, and we can box that up and ship it to them. Or they say, okay, I want this ornament off this tree. But we have a whole bunch of trees that you can look at and see what style you want. Just like the one at Blake Street is going to be weirder colors. And then some people like traditional. It's just, that's kind of the fun part. If you see a Hello Holidays tree, it is not going to be basic. It's not going to be what you see when you go to Pottery Barn. It's going to be a little more extra. It's going to be, you're going to see a print on there you wouldn't have expected to see on your tree. It's a little different. And we've created that in the last 5 years, our own brand. And people say, oh, that's a Hello Holidays tree. It's got an online presence. That's why it went viral on Pinterest, because you don't see a lot of them.
There's a lot of people out there that love to decorate a tree, and then there's people that just don't want to decorate a tree. And that's one reason why you're making good money right now, because there's some people that don't really like to decorate trees, and it takes a lot of time, and also it's an art. I can't do it. It can be an art.
We have merrymakers. That's kind of how, if I can get people to just try, it's really a lot easier once you've done it a couple of times. The people in, you know, one of the largest cities in the world compared to the people in Bentonville.
Oh, the comparing, like moving to Hollywood.
Yeah.
To Bentonville, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Which, this town is magical. So when it comes to this town, I grew up in Texas. People are super sweet there. But it was still a big city. I lived in the middle of Dallas. I definitely lived like in the middle of Dallas. I definitely am a city kid. And then I moved to Hollywood, California, right in the middle of the most dynamic place in Hollywood. And I love it. I'm not the guy that's going to be here and be like, those stupid Hollywood people.
Oh,
I love Hollywood. Oh, I love the culture. I love the diversity. Love it. I love it. It's a mess right now with all the homeless stuff happening. But I still love it. You know, I love Hollywood. But I came here and you can feel the energy. You can feel all the stuff. You can feel a culture being brought in, right? Yeah. It's so young.
Totally.
Like, it's like what's happening here, I try to explain to people because, you know, people, all my friends are like, you moved to Arkansas? And I'm like, yeah, I moved to Arkansas. But this little bubble of you know, with this Bentonville, Arkansas, they really are trying to make it diverse. They're really trying to make it a welcome community and all that stuff. I've never met so many nice people. I also never met so many people that are encouraging. Now, here at Blake Street, I think it's kind of a little even more of a bubble where you're in a world where there's a bunch of creative people. Mm-hmm. And there's not two of me here. There's not, I mean, I guess there's the, you know, the Mars have their reality show here, but you know, I do a lot of crazier reality shows than that.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, it's really interesting to see a town that is so young at such a very, I mean, it's an infant of a city, but there's so many cool things that have just started popping up. I mean, it's only like 3 years old. In my opinion, I know people are like, oh, 10 years, but in a year and a half.
The gas pedal pushed just a little bit ago.
Just a little bit ago.
Yeah.
So I don't feel like there's anything I'm missing when I'm living here. I really don't. I think that, like, I feel like there's so much great opportunity. Uh-huh. I think that, like, I probably wouldn't have done this show anywhere else. You know, at first I was trying to figure out how I was going to do the show and make it more broad and out there for other people. But now I realize that I just want to focus on this town and realize that, like, you know, as this show kind of keeps developing and if people seem to like me, and hopefully they do, that this thing will take a life of its own. But I think, you know, focusing on Bentonville and meeting the people that are building this town and the people that are kind of in this community that are doing incredible things for the world.
Totally.
I mean, the Waltons are changing the world.
They're
changing
the world. That is where I'm at before I came to Blake Street. So not very long ago, I didn't realize how many entrepreneurs and, like, full-on do-gooders there are here. Like, there are people at Blake. I have a friend that at Blake Street who is, like, literally putting a patent, like, getting FDA approved a drug that she owns that it will cure people from PTSD. Like, that is what she does when she works at Blake Street. These people are, you know, there's a Green Beret that sits beside me who, you know, is working on funding for veterans, Green Beret veterans who can't. I mean, the amount of people here that are doing world cause things are absolutely insane. It is fascinating. And you're not going to find that anywhere else. They're just not, it's not possible. And that's what's been fascinating, is it's a concentrated group of people who want to go bigger than what they saw in their own childhood. They got bigger dreams, bigger mindsets, bigger worldviews. And that Bentonville's not always been that way.
Yeah, I don't know what it's been like before this. But
yeah, definitely wasn't like that.
But I will tell you, like, even though as I'm going through the world and trying to figure it out, like, I know I tell people stories. I know that that's what I'm really good at. But as I'm trying to start a company, I'm starting a creative agency where I'm doing different things and telling stories, whether it's a brand or whatever.
Yeah.
And also trying to produce production stuff and develop TV shows. But people are just so encouraging.
Encouraging,
like, people are just, no one's here knocking me, you know, in Hollywood.
Because we believe in our town.
Yeah.
People who live in Bentonville believe in Bentonville. We believe in what it can do. We believe in where it's going. And I believe in my town, and I believe in the people in it. I believe in you. I believe in what you're at now, and I believe in where you're going. And that's a mutual respect that this town is creating in its culture, is that we believe in where you're at now. We believe in where you're going.
Agreed.
And that's a culture I want to be a part of.
And people are sweet.
I find
these people are
sweet. Okay.
Okay, there's some bitchy.
The word sweet to me is becoming, it's a word I'm just learning, wrestling with it just in my I grew up to be sweet. Girls were supposed to be sweet and just sweet. That's your job. Be sweet and keep your mouth shut. And I'm learning the people who are sweet.
This is when, guys, you've opened Pandora's box and you just have to
I'm just not the sweet. I am kind. I am kind. I'm good, but I'm not sweet. And I'm learning, like, people who are really sweet to me at first, I can't tell if they have got this inner anger in them, because I will see them at basketball games. They're so sweet. And then I'll see them at basketball games. Like, you can.
Oh, yeah, you have the kid thing. You see
them in the world. Like, who are you? Or they're really sweet and I realize that's all they know. That's like what's gotten them in the door, is that they just play this really sweet, innocent card. And that's what's gotten them in the door. They never lost their innocence. They still believe. And it's, and I'm struggling with that as a woman in a leadership role. If I say leadership role, or in a role where I'm with more leaders in my day to day, I'm learning maybe being sweet wasn't the number one value system that I'm going to keep going with, or am I going to trust all the time? I did a TikTok where I did the five things as a Christmas tree decorator I would never do. And I said, the one I said, I'm talking people, I got more hate for that than I got all through my three years of junior high.
Paint the picture.
3 years of junior high, more hate in this comment, these comments. I said, if as a Christmas tree decorator, I would never buy a live tree. Because I'm a decorator. They're a mess. They're hard to decorate. All the things. So I would always buy a fake tree.
I'm so excited to meet you.
Right?
I was an asthmatic. You know, I was a fat kid with asthma. Like, the only thing, you know what would kill me quicker than anything is a live Christmas tree. You put a live Christmas tree in,
die. So apparently,
but now I'm okay.
Will either kill kids with asthma, or saying you don't want to decorate a live Christmas tree is going to kill me with words, because TikTok people went freaking nuts. The good news is it made the algorithm higher. So I got more views, more likes, more saves. So in TikTok, if you get a controversial, and I probably need to go do another one.
That's literally my business.
I do, yes. But, like, I don't think that's that controversial. The people who make choices like that when they're agitated are probably not going to grow much for a while.
Give me some of these comments.
Okay, so comments were
so you truly think that buying a fake tree is better?
I mean, go buy your live trees. I think they're so cool. They're pretty. They smell good. Whatever.
What was the meanest thing somebody said to you on TikTok?
Well, I didn't read the comments after the first 200.
Good. All right.
First 200, it was, who do you think you are? Why would you write, who are these people? This girl, that her tree looks terrible. Don't yuck someone's yum.
Don't yuck someone's yum.
I don't like being told that, because I don't yuck anybody's yum. Like, I don't do that. I don't yuck your yum. Why are you saying that? You don't know me. And then I was like, the rest of these comments, it also made it where, well, people are like, oh, that's so cute. That's so pretty. I love this. It's also like, okay, well, I mean, that's not going to feed me either. So if those other comments don't feed me, the nice ones can't either. And that kind of is sad. That's a sad place where the good comments aren't going to hurt my ego. Neither are the bad comments either. So that's kind of a sad place to be. But it makes me more empowered where I don't need it. I don't need that outward affirmation. Now
really
I like it.
We've gotten into a sad Christmas, haven't we? We are into a sad
Christmas. Christmas is always good.
What is your favorite thing? Do you have any big plans for Christmas? What are the big plans for Christmas?
We have the best, most fun Christmas tradition with my family on Christmas Eve. Are you ready for it?
Yes.
My family.
Am I coming?
Oh my gosh. My family would love you. You would love my family. So my family meets in Tulsa, and we stay at my sister Emily's house, and we all get dressed up, and we go and get one of those big limousine, like those big party buses, and we go around, look at the lights, we listen to music, and we sing carols, and we take really fun photos, and then we come back, and we eat the leftovers from dinner, and then we wait for Santa to come, and you can hear him and his reindeer on the roof. We can hear him on the roof and the lights and all that. You see him in the windows. Then we go, and Santa has come, and everybody has one present from Santa on Christmas Eve, and then we exchange gifts.
See, that's what I mean.
It's so happy. It's like the happiest night in the world.
Like, you do the whole thing. A friend of mine whose father is extremely famous, I'm not going to talk about who he is,
why?
But whatever.
That's wrong.
Well, I'll tell you off the record, but for 2 days, he plays a Christmas character and never breaks character.
I'm obsessed.
And he's
me more.
Yeah, he
like,
is. Like, yeah,
he gets into what character?
Like Jack Frost,
or Elf,
or whatever. Like whatever. And by the way, I met the guy that actually wrote the movie Elf, and that was a
crazy experience.
And what was he like?
He was awesome. His name was Birnbaum. No, not at all. He was like, he was a nice guy, but one of my best friend was a screenwriter. He got this incredible deal from Disney right out of college. And there were three people that get this fellowship program a year. One of them, he got the job because he wrote the movie Elf, sold it for $40,000 before he got the job. That was way before Will Ferrell did the thing. This guy was legitimately waiting on a multi-million dollar check because Will Ferrell and all of a sudden became a blockbuster hit that made so much money that he was actually like right out of college. He was waiting on a couple million dollar check to like come through one of his first movies that ever sold.
And what else? That's amazing.
Yeah.
What other movies did he write besides Elf?
Who, Birnbaum? I don't have no idea. Oh. I've only met him once. I met Birnbaum one time and he was a really nice, one of the nicest
Everybody
people.
Loves Elf.
Yeah.
Everybody, I mean, yeah, most I people are going to say that's their favorite
just
movie.
I literally just watched it.
Hilarious.
Hilarious.
That's energy. That's some good energy there.
Yeah. If I screwed your story up, Birnbaum, we haven't seen each other in 20-something years, so, you know, whatever.
He'll be listening to this podcast.
Yeah, it is what it is. Do you feel like Christmas has changed?
Anything pre-social media, anything to us is just richer and more full and more flavorful and more robust. And now with social media, it's watered things down because you just don't get the full experience like we did when we were kids without phones. It just does. So I think it's changed that. I think it's changed this. In my world, it's good. For sales, it's great because people want to outdo each other. They want to go bigger and better, and they don't. You can only go where you know to go. So on social media, when you're seeing all these beautiful trees, I didn't know people could have pretty trees when I was a kid. I didn't know that was a cool thing. I thought what was cool was just having your family ornaments. My grandmother had cardinals all over the tree. I thought that was just like a personal preference. Now, your Christmas tree says something about you because you're going to post it, and it's going to be part of your identity, and you're going to share it, and you want and people oohing all over that stuff. So I think things have changed. I would like to say that anything pre-social media is just a different experience than after our lives now. Different. I don't know if that's good or bad. I also still think it might be some of the best and worst times of people's whole year. It's not in between. It's just not in between. It's either the best time of the year or the worst.
You know, you see people in these perfect Christmases, and then people are like, oh, my life sucks, or whatever, whatever. Because Christmas, like you said, Christmas is like, it's the worst because... And if you are someone that really misses that person, right? Like my best friend misses her father, and she really has a hard time celebrating because everything reminds her of the thing that she had with her father. And like, I just do the opposite. My mom just laughs. If you ever had an inkling of, like, if you opened yourself up, my mom had a joke for it. Like, you know, so like in a good way, like I appreciate it. Some people didn't appreciate it. But the minute you show vulnerability, my mom would come in, whoop-pow, and she'd hit you with some funny, you know? And that's kind of how I think that I've always lived. And just like you said, a toilet seat, it's not everybody's, you know what I mean? It's not everybody's cup of tea. Like, I just went, in fact, I just went wheeling through my mom's independent living facility, like, looking for one, like,
I
her
saw
electric
that on
car.
Instagram. Yeah, it was hilarious.
It was very funny, but people in there were like, this is my place of eating.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There was very serious people, and I forget that I'm always funny, or I always think I'm funny.
You bring the jolly.
But Christmas is tough, like you said. Like, you see these beautiful Christmas trees. You see all these kind of things. People feel like they have to keep up with the Joneses and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, Christmas could be a place where it's hard, you know? You realize that, like, all the things that you're missing and all that kind of stuff. And I think Christmas kind of has a moment of, like, I guess you always should, Christmas should remind you that you're always trying to find the joy.
Totally.
Is that?
Totally. Just a reset. And you know, like I said, if you have a tree with just lights, that's beautiful. If you just put lights on a tree. No one, Christmas is only what you make it. It's your energy. But those people who have deaths in their family or people hurting in your family, oh, that's hard. And at the holidays, it's even harder. And I think that's the pressure of parents and moms and family members to say, this is going to be a hard Christmas, so I'm going to try to make it even more magical. But there is this idea that if we make it more special, if we have the best desserts and the best food and the best gifts and the best, you know, whatever. You know, I was speaking of, I'm changing the subject here. But Damon, I was not invited to very many Christmas parties this year. I'm going to have a Christmas party. I had one last year. I'm going to have one this year, but I'm going to a Christmas party on the 23rd. Yet, that's the only party I want to know, and this is just, why are people not having more Christmas parties? That's, Hello Holidays has this thing of, like, invite them over. Like, your house is never going to be prettier than it is at Christmas. Invite them over.
I really like to entertain. I'm super excited about building my house and doing that.
It's, are you building?
I'm building downtown. I probably should own a dating agency. Like, like, creating dates for people. Because, you know, it's the bachelor of it all, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
People are like, do they really fall in love? I'm like, yeah, bitch, they all fall in love. Excuse my language. But yeah, they all fall in love. Like, you're sitting in a jacuzzi. I give you champagne. I make this incredible date. That's a thing.
Yeah.
Two hot people with good bodies sitting in a jacuzzi. All of a sudden, you're like, oh, I don't even care about this person. Whatever. And then you make out, and you're like, oh, that's kind of nice.
I know.
And then you
eat
a piece of cheese, and you're like, oh, that's kind of nice. Yeah. And then you drink a little more wine, get kind of a little bit more drunk, and then you make out again. And you're like, well, maybe I do really like this person.
Yeah.
And then you take them away, and you don't let them see for 2 days. And then everybody falls in love. And then they make out with the next person. They're like, wait, that doesn't feel right. And then everybody falls in love.
Are we all just simple? Basic?
Everybody's simple.
Everybody's simple.
Everybody likes the same stuff. We like happiness. We like comfort. We like respect. We like.
We like to be adored.
We like to be adored, and we like safety.
Safety, totally.
Safety. It's a hard thing to come by.
Yeah. That's good.
And then you have Christmas to really make it up. You know what
that's
I mean?
Hard, it's yeah.
Like you screwed up the entire for 11 months.
You got
Christmas to make it up.
How can I brand that? How can I tagline that? Your year sucked. You got Christmas to make it up.
I think you just did.
That might be it. Yeah, I'm going to brand that, man. That's good. I'm going to tagline that. This is being honest and raw and vulnerable. Talking about the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a jolly time for me. It's very rarely
I'm
aware.
Have you talked about any of this stuff on your last podcast?
No. Oh, no. We've never talked about the psyche. I've written about it in there's been some news outlets that have written a little bit and quoted me on that I've said that there's a psyche to it. But
psyche to what? Psyche to Christmas?
Psyche to Christmas. There's a psyche.
Oh, it's give emotional. It to give me that real quick.
Well, I mean,
I know we have, but like, just give me just.
The psyche of Christmas is that, you know, if you had a childhood where Christmas was the most volatile time of the year because your family couldn't get along. Or most people had good childhoods, had really great Christmases because they, and like I said, I think there's a lot of moms do that. And so all that to say, there is a desire to make Christmas a fix-all, a happiest time of the year. It's warm and cozy. It's jolly. It's joy. It's merry. It is all the Yuletide. It's happy time. It's the good food. It's the comfort. I mean, there is nothing more comfortable than things that you eat at Christmas time. Cookie parties, ornament parties, all the things. There's always parties. There happiness that comes at Christmas, and that's what people need at the end of the year. It's celebrating Christianity, or celebrating anyone's religion, celebrating the birth of Jesus. All that brings a nobleness to it, a goodness to it that makes up for the part of being a little greedy.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah. I mean, like, I really do celebrate the fat.
Totally.
The fat guy in a red suit more than I celebrate anything else, and I really don't separate them. I think there's like a, you know what I mean? I really do. I do separate church and state. I really just kind of just enjoy Christmas.
I get it.
Christmas.
And I think that's okay. But in the South, it is a huge part of Christmas.
Right.
A nativity scene, it is. And I respect that too. I respect that. I like that. There's a lot of rituals, a lot of traditions, a lot of things that if people don't do on Christmas Eve or their whole year feels off.
Well, I think that's what I want to get back into my family is that there's been this huge push of like to get rid of traditions of all kinds where it's like, let's not give gifts anymore. It's too difficult.
I think that's our generation.
Yeah.
Gen Z's doing that.
Yeah. Like,
it's not millennials. It's not Gen X.
Yeah. Like,
we're Gen X, aren't we?
I don't even know.
We're Gen X. Gen Z's not doing this. Millennials and Gen X, I think they're doing that. I think they're saying, let's do stuff new because we're sick of what was old. And now people are going back to, okay, let's do some traditions.
Let's have fun.
Yeah.
Let's have fun. Like,
let's
it doesn't
matter.
Whatever your Christmas is, whether you're religious, great, be religious. If you're not religious, just do fat guy in a suit. Like,
yeah.
whatever it is. So, you know, like
give back. It should be a time where your family did something to give back.
Right.
That should be a part. That should be everybody's Christmas tradition, along with decorating the tree, is how did you give back to the people that, or give back to anybody? My daughter, well, I'm not going to brag. I don't want to be braggadocious, but my daughter was like, Mom, the janitors at our school are so nice. They stand behind the trash cans and kids throw things in that are recyclable and they put their hands in there and they put in recycle and they say thank you to these junior high kids who do not care. Those are the people that at Christmas time we can give back to. And she knows that. She's 12, 13. We know that. Putting that into practice at Christmas is what makes us feel good. That brings way more joy than a Christmas tree. Am I wrong?
No, I think that that's really
and
it's what
not, it's... And it's awkward for people to do in June to give a gift to somebody, but it's not awkward at Christmas. It's easy.
There's no excuse not to do it. And it doesn't need to be give the person at Starbucks a free Starbucks because they were going to buy the Starbucks anyway. Go give it to somebody that wasn't going to do the Starbucks. Give it to the kid that or the person that's not going to be able to buy the Starbucks. That's kind of my another one of my...
I love
horses.
I love it.
Like, do you have like a vision for the future of Christmas? Do you?
I do.
Okay, boom.
Oh,
okay.
Thank you for asking.
Okay.
Hold
on. Oh. Hello holidays.
Hello
right?
Holidays.
Hello holidays. Vision for the future of Christmas. Brought to you by the Good Times.
Yeah. Future of Hello Holidays or the future of Christmas is a question. So for Hello Holidays, I expect us to go. I think you're going to see more Hello Holidays. You didn't know anything about Hello Holidays this year. I got a feeling you're going to know more about it.
I knew nothing
year.
About anything.
You're going.
I just know I love you.
Thank you. I think you're going to see more Hello Holidays. I'm hoping to make it very not a stressful thing to decorate your house at Christmas. That is something I believe Hello Holidays can fix. That if that's a problem, I think we can fix it to make your Christmas decorating not something you're ashamed of, something you're proud of. Making it easier for you to spend more time with your family, baking cookies, doing whatever you want to do. I would like to see the nostalgia of Christmas traditions and Christmas presents become more prominent. Those would be some things I'd like to see the future of Christmas, the future of Hello Holidays. Also, inviting people over. You do it. You love people. I would love to. Christmas is the time to invite people over. The girl at yoga that leaves early that you just really want to know because she's just cool looking. The neighbor that always waves at, and now it's a little too awkward to go talk to him.
Mm-hmm.
But you can invite him over for a Christmas cookie, whatever, coffee. Christmas is the time to invite people over that you see once a year, that you see all year but never talk to. Take the time to invite people over. And yeah. I'm going to have, my house is getting remodeled. I'm going to have a Christmas party. Damon, you're coming to my party.
I would love it.
And
I will tell you, so like a long time ago, I did have this thing where like I couldn't go home for Christmas. And so it was during a really bad time. It was during the Iraq war and whatever. And I worked at PF Chang's. I was like the head bartender, blah, 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 whatever. I did when I was trying to be a stand-up comic and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, I love it.
And there was a guy that like, he was the full turban. It was during a time when anybody had a turban on.
Yeah.
It was not a good time, right? Like, now it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
But I ended up just being like, dude, you ain't got nowhere to go for Christmas. I had this guy over. I had my best friend come down. Oh. I had another random person come down. It was the weirdest Christmas in history. We had such a good time.
I wish I could have been a part of that.
Yeah, it was great. And I really enjoyed it. Now, look, not everybody can do that, right? Like, I think I really enjoy meeting strangers, and it's part of, that's my world, right? But I also think that, like, to what you're saying, is that, like, enjoy your Christmas and all that kind of stuff. I want to tell people, like, as a person that deals with chaos and craziness for a living, if it did not work last year, just chalk it up with, oh my God, that was such a disaster.
Totally.
And then the next year, do it again. Like, keep trying. I feel like people give up. They're like, well, that was terrible. We're never doing that again.
Yeah.
Like, don't do that.
No,
like,
try again.
Every year, try to make Christmas a magical moment.
Right.
Because, yeah, Christmas not my, this might not be my favorite Christmas
make
this year,
it
right?
Magical,
this might not be.
But moms, it's not all on you. You don't have to do it all. Your house doesn't have to be perfect. Your food doesn't have to be perfect. Ask people love to bring stuff to your house. They love to feel like they were a part of the magic. Delegate. Let go. Drink a glass of wine while you're getting ready. Relax. This Christmas is not supposed to be a stressful time. And you heard it here first. Damon and Amanda, we love a party. A king and queen of parties would be me and Damon, and we are saying you're trying too hard.
Trying too hard. Just have a good time. And if the party sucks, just try have another one.
Yeah.
Just have another
one. Just have another one. Try again.
Just kick them out early.
Yeah.
And then you can go to bed early.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Amanda, the queen of Christmas.
Oh my gosh, how much fun
did
I have today?
Thank you so much.
I love it.
For coming on the Good Time Show.
I'm
still trying to figure this whole world out.
Yeah,
I just want you to come be a co-host next time. I mean, you really should just come in here and just help me. It would be a lot of fun.
That's a compliment.
100%.
That might happen.
And everybody out there, thank you guys so much. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. The Queen of Christmas, please go and buy anything and everything from Hello Holidays because she's awesome and amazing. I'd really like to thank Blake Street for allowing me to be in the Sound Lounge. And so, everybody, go shop at Walmart. Because why not? Yeah. If we're going to plug somebody, it ain't going to be Target.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys. And I love you very much.
Bye. I love you.
Well, that's our show. If you didn't get a chance to watch the episode, check it out on YouTube and Spotify. You can also listen to The Good Time Show on Apple Podcasts or any other platform. We are always trying to grow our Planet Good Times community, so subscribe and follow us at Good Times Us on almost all social media platforms. This episode was presented and recorded live at Blake Street House Sound Lounge in Bentonville, Arkansas, a social club where people from all walks of life come together just to be themselves and make the community a better place. Till next time, good times, everybody.